Hello, hello, hello. Welcome everybody to an awesome episode of Josh Poland Show. Today we have a wonderful guest. His name is Sean O'Rourke. We kind of just jump right into real estate. I got like kid in candy shop syndrome. I'm like, please tell me everything. And then we like 9 minutes in, we get into his story and then back into the more nitty gritty. But yeah, so you'll hear in the beginning, he offers me an affiliate link for 50% off his system. Honestly, after talking with him, if you're in any way interested in real estate, but you don't have time to study, it is definitely worth considering his program. I'm going to put the affiliate link in the description. And yeah, enjoy this awesome, awesome show with Sean O'Rourke.
Welcome to the Josh Bolton Show, where we dive into interesting and inspiring conversations. And now, your host, Josh Bolton.
Just turn on the recording so I don't forget. So how's your Monday going so far?
Busy. Yeah, staying busy this morning. What about yourself?
Same. Yeah, I've been building up my website, so it's like last 5-6 hours just grinding that out.
Yeah. Yep, I get it.
So what specifically do you do? Like, are you teaching people how to invest in properties, or is there this more of like a side thing?
No. The coaching stuff, that's more of a side thing. Like, I just built that business, started last year, the end of last year, building that business out. You know, I'm a full-time investor. That's what I do. My bread and butter, day in and day out, buying houses and apartments and all that stuff. But just where I started from, you know, tends to resonate with people. And I didn't realize that I would be coaching like I am, you know? And so I said, well, shoot, I might as well build a business around being able to coach people.
Oh, 100%. That's why I was super interested in you, because I've only had maybe 3 people top that are real estate coaches, like how to find a house on a sale, how to get the money for it, how to like talk to the customer so they don't be like, want to overcharge you. And I just throw my dude, I'd love to pick his brain on this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't know, like, as far as with what you do, one thing that I am doing is I've got an affiliate link on this. So like, if you do pitch it or whatever, we're paying 50%. So like, I think depending on the course, it's about $2,000. You'd make $1,000, you know, just to pitch it and use that affiliate link. So
yeah, I'm down. I do martial arts, and my instructor, he knows I'm trying to, like, I'm doing a podcast and I'm building a coaching thing. My coaching thing is teaching. It's sad to say, a lot of business owners treat their greatest asset, their employees, like shit.
Yeah.
So show those who are willing to learn, like, you don't want to do that because they are truly your bread and butter. And
that's your greatest asset in business, man.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So how long have you been doing karate, or what'd you call it? Martial arts.
Martial arts. Yeah, it's karate. 15 years now.
Wow. Well, I've always wanted to do it, man. Just never did.
It's one of those. I actually had a guy on, Steve Sims, earlier, and he did it and got his black belt and went for a second one. But he said the funny thing with martial arts is once you learn it, you actually don't want to use it.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe it.
And yeah, it's the same for me. I've done it 15 years. I've achieved second degree black belt in our system. And I'm now at the point when people get hostile, I'm like, man, I don't really want to hurt you right now. California court system's all fucked up.
Yeah. I'll tell you this too, man, to be honest with you, that shows consistency and due diligence, you know, like, you're just staying consistent. That's what I tell people all the time in business is, if you will stay consistent, it doesn't matter what you do, man. You could be selling popsicles on the courthouse steps, but if you stay consistent at it, you're going to win.
Oh, absolutely. Same with my, with like everything, is like, for me in the beginning, my show was sucking, and most podcasters, if they either quit within the first 30 episodes or 3 months, it is one of those two. But, I just sat there and I fumbled hard on one of my first guests. So I made a deal with myself. I'm like, I have to slam out 30 episodes to suppress that guy's episode.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize what I was doing. And then once I did, I'm like, well, I'm this far in, I might as well just keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's just one of those. A lot of people lately have been asking me that. Like, can you teach us how to podcast? I'm like, I mean, there's plenty of free content, but all right. I mean, if you want to pay me, I'll teach you too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So as a full-time investor, I take it you're, do you, what softwares do you use, like Zillow or?
One thing that I did is I built out what you call a CRM, which is a customer management system. And it's based out of Podio. I don't know if you know much, about Podio, but.
Not really heard of it, but.
It's basically like you can customize your CRM to your business. And so it costs a bunch of money to do it, but it was, you know, in the long run, it's well worth that investment to build out your own system that caters to your business. So I use that. And then I also use Zillow, Redfin, PropStream, BatchLeads. There's a ton of different systems that I use to skip trace, to find leads, lead source, you know, list source is another one, multiple different leads and list source to do that. And then I send it all into some VAs. Those VAs then cold call and cold text for me. And then that comes back into my CRM, my Podio. And then we manage it in-house from there.
That's interesting. You have VAs doing all the cold calling.
Yeah.
That's actually really smart too. Just thinking about it, probably the easiest work they'll get for whatever you're paying them.
I mean, you think about it, you're paying them $6-7 an hour. They're making more than most of the people in the Philippines, and, you know, and they're just actively calling. And I'm going to be honest, man, they've got a stronger work ethic than anybody else. I mean, I hate to say it, but they're way stronger than us Americans for real.
Oh yeah. Seriously. It's one of those. Well, okay. At least in California, like no one wants to work, but I'm starting to gather that's everywhere.
It is. It's everywhere.
So, and like I did security at one point in my life, and it was funny because at a certain point I noticed there was a lot of Philippines, a lot of Asians, but a lot of Russians too. And it was just one of those. I sat there and as I talked to them, and even though I'm an introvert, I like to hearing the story. I'm like, why are you doing this? They're like, oh, because no one wants to do it. So they're paying us a premium.
Yeah.
And they're like, and we get to have our green card free. I sat there and I'm like, wow, when you put it that way, yeah, this is the biggest opportunity of your life. Give them a air quote year of your life and you're free for the rest of your time.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a ton of sense.
And it was just one of those. I'm like, wow. So I jokingly told one of the Philippines, I'm like, hey, so what are the odds I could just hire someone? And he's like, oh, dude, it's like in our place, it's like $1 an hour here. He's like, if you pay him even $3 an hour, they're just misers at that point.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, man. I mean, it's really crazy. And so that's the whole intent. Actually, this year we're going to build out. So right now I think we have 5 VAs that are actively cold calling and texting, and the plan's to have 20 this year. So we're going to expand to about 30 different states. And so that's the VA plan.
VA state pretty much?
Do what?
Pretty much a virtual assistant a state?
Probably so. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. So I'm just curious, because they're stationed in the Philippines, how are they able to text people internationally without it coming through?
It's through our system. So it'll go through like a server, like BatchLeads, and then it'll send those texts out or they'll call through a thing called smartphone. So it uses a phone number associated with that area. And so you're not even getting a number, you know, it's not even getting like a number out of state. It's a local number that calls in. And so it just runs through those operating systems. And then when they communicate, I can see it in my Podio. So it logs everything. So my Podio system catches everything. I can see what their communication is, listen to their recordings that they've done and all that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So where did you find the guy to edit and code everything up for you to do this?
To build out the Podio? Mm-hmm. It's a company overseas and we contracted them. Yeah, it's sick. We try to outsource everything that we can, you know, to an extent, because, you know, you think about it, what are you good at? Well, you need to focus on what you're good at. And then everything else that you're not, you need to pay somebody else to do it. Just makes more sense.
100%. I had a mergers and acquisition guy come on, and that's where he said he was being a mergers and acquisition mind. He's like, okay, what are you good at? What is this? Let's streamline it. I told him like small stuff, details, like follow up reminders. I suck at that. He's like,
that's it.
And he's like, then if I hire a VA, literally just have them do that.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, it's $300 right now. And you're not cash flowing, but if they do it correctly, he's like, within 6 months, you'll be making so much money, you're going to be like, hire more friends, please.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, honestly, I love it as it is. Can we get a little introduction on you? We just kind of jumped right into real estate and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, my name is Sean O'Rourke. I started in real estate about 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago. I was broke, man. So I made good money. I was a production manager at a plant here locally. I made good money for my area, but I was broke because my bills were what I made. So I was living paycheck to paycheck, even though I made really good money for the area. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't go do extra stuff. I couldn't go on a trip if I wanted to. I didn't have an extra $1,000 to go buy whatever. Right. I was broke. And so I wanted to find something different. And I started looking at how to make money in real estate with no money. And I found wholesaling. And wholesaling is where you get a property under contract that you then have equitable rights to that property. And then you sell that contract to a cash buyer, and you make the spread. So let's say I got a house under contract for $100,000. The house is worth $200,000. I call up a buyer, a cash buyer. I say, hey, Mr. Cash Buyer, I want to sell you my contract for $10,000. Would you buy it? Yes. So he pays me $10,000. He buys my contract for $100,000. He's $110,000 in it on a $200,000 house. And so I did 36 of those transactions my first year, made $300,000. And it just blew me away. I was like, holy crap, what did I just stumble off into? And so I got into real estate just doing that. And then, but I took that money and put it right back into the business. I started buying rentals. You know, I started getting in rooms with people that were way smarter than me in masterminds so that I could pick their brain, that made, you know, that did a lot more. So, and then it just grew from there, you know, to where now I'm holding over $11 million in assets. And, you know, and that's between houses, single family houses, apartments, and mini storages, and so on and so forth. And we have a multi-million dollar wholesale business here locally where nice. We flip and wholesale deals. Yeah. It's sick, man. That's awesome. It was in 3 years from, and I'm a high school dropout. You know, I was doing drugs and drinking and acting like a fool. My dad passed away. I really just didn't care. You know, all the crazy things that people make excuses for to say, well, my life is what it is because of where I came from. Well, that's a bunch of crap. Your life really is what it is because of the decisions that you make now. Not then, now.
Oh, 100%. No, that's, I had a guy named David Goodall come on a couple of weeks ago, and same thing. Well, he wasn't a high school dropout, but he's like, I was doing drugs. I was bad. I did this. You would have looked at me at that time. You wouldn't think I'd be as successful as I am. And that was the thing he said. He's like, dude, you are what you think about. If you think you're $1 million, if you do it long enough, you'll eventually become that.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And it's interesting for me. I had, an interesting up and coming. I was like misdiagnosed as like bipolar ADHD, and the ADHD part they didn't miss, but since I was on heavy drugs, so most of my life I was talking weird gibberish. Honestly, if you talked to me like 3 years ago, I'd be going on some deep rabbit holes, and you'll be sitting there going, did I just waste my time? But once I've been clean 3 years, and I've found my way and all that, but it was this very similar story. I wasn't a high school dropout. My parents wouldn't let me, let's put it that way. But I got like a C average across all classes. I worked just enough so I didn't fail. So I didn't have to come back.
Yeah. It's I'm going to tell you, man, real estate's a wonderful avenue to become to build generational wealth. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. And the thing is you don't have to have money to do it. Now, When I started, I had to pull a little bit of data. So I pulled some lists from List Source. That cost me a couple of $100. Okay. And then I had to get them skip traced. Yeah. And then I had to get it skip traced. So I had it skip traced. That was about another $150. I put that on a credit card, you know, really, that was already pretty much maxed out. But I put it on a credit card and then started calling. And within 2 weeks, I had two properties under contract. I made $750 on my first deal. But I realized at that point, holy crap, this is viable. And then after that, it was just off to the races and all my lunch breaks. And this is the thing. This is what I tell everybody. I try to tell everybody this. Stay consistent. On my lunch breaks, I was calling people. On my way home, I was either going and looking at houses or I was on the phone calling somebody driving, you know, and it was that every day, day in and day out, day in and day out. And that's how I was able to do the deals that I was able to do. And it has nothing to do with how intelligent I am or anything else. Can I hustle? Absolutely. Do I like to negotiate? Absolutely. But does that mean that anybody else can do it? Yes. You just have to stay.
Okay. You skipped for a second. I was like, oh shoot. Did we just lose him?
Oh, sorry.
It's all good. Yeah, no, that's the biggest thing. Cause I used to teach martial arts. When I got out of high school, it was like 18, lived with my parents. So I didn't really have to worry about bills other than like food. And same thing. My instructor taught me, as long as you're consistent, money is coming. He's like, it might not be as fast as you thought it was going to be though, but it will come.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's just one of those. Yeah. I think it's one of those, like, people, you watch these air quote overnight successes on the internet, and some of them may actually literally be overnight, but it's the, do they have the hustle to keep going? Do they have the grit when the hype is gone? That's when you really see the character of the person.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my mentors said, that's when you see when who's swimming after the tide recedes with no bathing suits.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good one. So then you've kind of touched on it already, but what would be the more specific, like, let's say I'm interested. I want to start the wholesaling. Where would be some sites and things that would need to look into acquiring?
Yeah. So the first thing I would do is, if you're interested in wholesaling, is you need to start getting on podcasts. Like, you need to listen to wholesaling podcasts. This is my best advice. And again, like I said, I've built out a course. So I've got a course that'll teach you step by step if that's what you want, right? But the best thing I could tell you is you need to start doing a little bit of research.
Okay.
Couple of weeks, just looking into, listening to some YouTube videos, listening to some podcasts on wholesaling real estate, and see if that's something that you're interested in doing and understand the process. And then then the next thing you do is you pull data, you pull lists. And my best advice, now a lot of people will tell you different things, but here's the thing. Here's what I feel is the best. And the reason I say that is it will get you comfortable with talking to people, because if you do not talk to people, you're not going to find deals, period, the end. Okay. Oh, you have to talk to people. Some people, again, similar to what you were saying, they're introverts. So they don't like talking to people too much. But if you're that way and you don't get out of that, at least if you're willing to start talking to them, it's not going to work. You've got to talk to people to be successful. Or you've got to train somebody else that's good at doing it and then hire them to do it. Right.
That's the biggest joke with my martial arts instructor. He's an introvert. He loves working on his cars. But because especially with COVID, it's really thrown off his marketing. He loves going to fairs, dressing up in his samurai outfit and running around showing everyone, and he gets a ton of leads. And I jokingly told him, like, dude, for an introvert, you're really extrovert on command.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what I tell everybody is pull a list, get it skip traced, and start cold calling people. Get the ones that are going to cuss you out, because it's going to happen. You know, they're going to say, how in the F did you call me? You know, my number's not public, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Get in, but get used to it, because you're going to have some that'll be like, absolutely, I'm so glad you called me. You're about to help me out in this situation, because I had no idea what I was going to do with this house. And so that's the key, is just really, you just have to start somewhere. Just start. You know, oh, yeah. if that means that you buy my course or get in my free Facebook page or go to somebody else's Facebook page or go listen to podcasts, that's what you have to do. But the first thing you need to do is start.
Make a decision to actually do it.
Absolutely.
I have a mentor. Actually, I'm going to call him. We're going to have a Zoom call around 4 p.m. today. Ken Roberts. He's a futures commodity trader. Mm-hmm. And he has a book. It's one of those. I don't think you see it. It's not in frame, but literally the whole book is saying, just take one step and the rest will show itself. You just, you have to do the first step and the rest will, like, dominoes will fall into place.
That's exactly right. And it's all mindset. And it even comes down to how much money you make. When I first started wholesaling, I was tickled to death to make $5,000 a wholesale deal. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I got into it and I'm like, why can't I make $15,000 a deal? You know what? I'm going to make $15,000 a deal. I changed nothing but my mindset. But guess what happened? I started making $15,000 a wholesale deal.
Then you're like, I wonder if I can make 20.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we're hitting $100,000 deals. You know, it's sick. Yeah. Yeah. It's sick, man. And so, and people can do this. It all, like you said, it all comes down to your mentality.
Yeah. Well, like for me, when I was younger, like I said, I believed I was a monster. You know, the funny thing, I started fulfilling that. So recently, I think I'm like, okay, I'm a very successful businessman. I'm learning trading. So I'm a very successful trader, this and that. And suddenly, as like the last few months have been passing, especially with these here in California, weird lockdown, but not lockdown again shit. I just noticed something, all the stuff's falling in place. And I'm like, wow, like it really is just your thoughts. And I'm like, one of the guests I had on, she's like, oh, you can manifest anything. And I'm like, well, okay, to an extent, you can't manifest a flying pig, but you can manifest a parking spot if you pass the area twice and be like, okay, by the second time, that parking spot will be done. I said, but that's an opportunity. You're making opportunities by thinking.
Yeah. I have a quote that I say, and it is, success is captured opportunities.
Yes. Yeah. And then it ties into your talking to people, because I've known people very wealthy, very successful. They didn't know anything about their field or whatever, but it was the connection they had from one weird one-off party that they're like, oh, that guy does whatever. He said he helped me out for a discount. I'll give him a call, and boom, there they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the key, man. I mean, and here's the other thing, and this is what I tell people a lot, especially when it comes to real estate, because you can, like, some of the things that I teach in my course, they could be really destructive in people's lives, because you're, you know, in the negotiating side of how do you negotiate a deal, you can use that for good or you can use it for bad, you know, and it really all comes down to morality and how you're willing to deal with it, right? But one thing that I tell people is this: you care about people and not about profit. And if you'll care about the people that you're talking to, the profit will come, right? But if you use tactics and things for destruction, you're never going to be successful. You might make a ton of money, but making a ton of money doesn't mean you're successful. Making a ton of money doesn't mean you're rich, right?
Right. It just means you're an asshole with a lot of money.
Yeah, that's it.
It's similar to what I tell people. I'm like, I could technically teach you to make $1 million, but will you be happy with $1 million?
Yeah.
Because if you do what you love and you truly are helping people, another tangent to that is, you can make $1 million, but you also have that bad name, a bad taste in their mouth to you. Mm-hmm. But if you help them, then it's going to branch so far beyond you. You're going to be like, wait, you're in like Alaska. How did you hear about me? Kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's one of those, I tell people, that's when you get random people reaching out that they've never met you, never truly looked at your literature, but through a friend of a friend of a friend, they heard of you and just wanted to reach out. It's like, that's when you know you're successful, that your power for good is going out way beyond your reach.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing I say is, you know, in all honesty, there's two things in life that are guaranteed: taxes and death.
So yes, Ben Franklin one, right? That's a good one.
Yeah. And so how do you want to be remembered, man? I want to live in that. I want to be in that casket and people come up to you and say, you know what? That was a good dude and he lived a good life, you know?
And he helped a ton of people along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Are you getting an apartment syndication now too?
I don't do syndication. No, we just buy them. You know, so
interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Syndications get a little complicated and you have to be licensed and all this other crazy stuff, you know? And I mean, ultimately what we use is private money to take apartments down and then we just refinance them with the bank.
Does it matter who the person is? Like, is it an accredited investor or
it's just the people, that we talk to and realize, you know, that we're honest people. And so they become actually part of the deal. So they're actually on the property as owner until we refi out. And then once we refi out, they get paid out. And then, you know, depending on the deal, it's structured differently here and there, but we just basically become business partners for a little while.
Oh, that's not bad. Well, you just send them like a 1099 and a K-1 and that's it.
Yep.
That's wow. I never heard of this. I'm curious, like how would that work? Let's say I can round up about 10 people I know that can at least drop 50K each. Well, how would I structure it to explain to them to give me the money?
Yeah. So depending on the percentage of what you want to give them of ownership in the business. Okay. Or, and when I say the business, what happens is you set up an LLC with its own, this entity in it, and that's it. And you say, okay, guys, what we're doing is we're giving 5% ownership in this company. And you know, with the stipulation that this is going to be an ownership for X amount of time and you're going to have X amount of returns, guaranteed pref returns during that time. And then when we refinance out, we're refinancing out and taking ownership ourselves, where we refinance you out, you get your money plus any kind of interest as far as the refi proceeds on the equity that you've gained while you've been in ownership of the business.
So I take it it's just a simple contract they have to sign and that's more generally agreement for that?
It gets a little, it really just depends. So, I mean, you set up agreements for the LLC and the operating agreement and stuff like that.
But it sounds like one of those, you call your lawyer, pay them the $1,000, $2,000, they have them structure it once and you just insert whatever company name and their name and sign it.
That's it.
Wow. Way simpler than some of the stuff those apartment syndication guys were talking to me about.
Yeah.
I was just sitting here going like, wow. I mean, they make stupid money, but it's just like, I don't know if I could successfully swing that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a headache. I mean, that's why we don't do syndications. And I mean, we even go so far as to do a single family house this way. You know, so what we do on a single family house, though, is we just write them a promissory note. So what happens is, let's say I've got a buddy of mine and he's got $100,000. And that buddy says, hey, I want to spend $100,000 on some real estate. Okay, loan me that $100,000. I'm going to pay you 1% a month on your money. And then when we refinance out, I'm going to pay you a 1% kicker on top of that. So you're making 1% a month plus a 1% kicker while your $100,000's in play. And when we refinance out, you get all your money back plus your interest. And I'm going to give you a personal guarantee that says Sean's going to pay you your money back, or you get the property, or you also have legal ramifications to come back on me and any of my assets that I own, basically.
Oh, that right there, that last part's a little risky, but okay.
Well, if you know what you're doing though, and you do it right, what does it matter? Like if you're buying houses right, let's say I buy a house, it's worth $120,000. I'm only buying it for 45 and putting 10 in it. Why could you not refinance it back out? Or you go back to them after the fact and you say, look, let's just say the economy dies, right? Crashes. And you can't refi out for some crazy reason. You can't take any of your other assets that you've got and use that as liquidity or whatever. Okay. Let's just say worst case scenario. You go back to them and you say, look, man, we got an issue, but I'm telling you, I'm going to pay you. And here's what I'm going to do. Moving forward, any profits that I receive from this house, I'm going to stick a renter in it. Any profits that I receive for this house, I'm going to send you those profits every month from here moving forward until I can refi it out. So if you buy it right and you rent it and you put a tenant in there, and let's say you make $250 a month on the rent after you pay, you know, after everything or whatever, after your insurance, blah, 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 and you make $250 and you're sending them that every month, you're paying them way more than their 1% that they had in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you're showing them commitment, and then you still are owning a property. So you're still at a certain point as the economy goes back up, you're still gaining equity. So you're still going to have a property. Plus you're doing what you said you're going to do. You just have to renegotiate. Now, again, that kind of goes back to, I don't even see that happening, because if you buy the property right, the bank's willing to finance it for you. So if I've got a $120,000 house that I've only got 55 grand in, why would a bank not finance that?
Right. Yeah. You know? You have most of the collateral anyways. They just need that extra 50K to finish off the rest and do some restorations to boost it. And the bank would just be like, all right, just be sure to pay us the 50K when you're done.
Yeah, absolutely. It just makes a ton of sense. That's another potential strategy where you're not putting any of your own money in it, but you're also helping other people that have some money make stupid returns. I mean, who can make 13% guaranteed on their money every year? I don't know of anyone.
You can't even the stock market.
Yeah. I mean, you can in crypto, but it's risky as piss.
Just in our conversation, it's probably dropped $1,000.
Yeah, absolutely. It's risky. So real estate, you have a tangible asset. You know, that's something somebody can go touch.
Yeah. Crypto, other than the little promissory note that, you own this. You can't touch crypto. There's no... I actually had a crypto guy and I even said this to him. I'm like, what's the intrinsic value of crypto? Like I said, my rack here, I bought it for $50 with time, probably worth 40. But we can measure that. We can calculate it. So what's crypto? How do I measure that? And he's like, it's based off what everyone's feeling. And I'm like, that makes no sense. You can't measure that. You can't calculate it.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And now, don't get me wrong. I've got some crypto that I've invested in, right?
Early adopter stuff?
Yes. Yeah. So there's a new one out. I don't know if you've heard of Hex, but
I've heard of it, but I didn't read its white paper or whatever.
Okay. So there's Hex, there's Pulse Chain, which you've missed the sacrifice phase on. There's Pulse X right now that you can sacrifice for. And I'm in on those three. And that's really all the crypto that I'm really concerned with. But if it does like it's supposed to, it should be great. But here's the thing. It's the money that I'm willing to throw in the trash.
Right.
You know, I'm not going out here putting through.
There he is.
Yeah. Sorry, man. I don't know if it's mine or yours.
I just turned off my internet to be sure, but I didn't get any notification. My internet was slow. So.
Okay. It may be mine.
Yeah. I'm in
Mississippi. So, you know, I mean, we've got a bunch of sticks around here.
The wind's blowing the wrong way in the bayou.
Yeah, that's right.
I lost you at the 300 grand invest in crypto.
Yes. So I wouldn't go throw 300 grand into crypto because that would hurt my feelings to lose, you know?
Yes. I know some people who have literally dumped their whole retirements into NFTs. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah. And that's scary, man, because NFTs honestly are loosely related to JPEGs that may or may not be on the internet. Crazy. JPEGs are risky.
Yeah. And it's just one of those. This one lady, she was just trying to show it off. Like, I bought this. And I said, it was one of those Mutant 8 Yacht Club or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I bought one of them. I bought it in at 100K. And I said, ma'am, I'm just curious. How did you get the money for this? She's like, I pulled all my money out of my 401K and put it in. I'm like,
oh my goodness.
Like I don't know how long this phase is going to last. And it's like, you might've just burned all that money.
Yeah. My goodness. Yeah. That's the scary part. And that's the one thing, man. I mean, that's why I like teaching people about real estate. Cause even if you screw up, you still can't lose it all. I mean, like if you do it right, you can't get hurt long-term. You know, now can you be like Dave Ramsey, where you over leveraged everything? And because of that, when the crash happened, you lost it all. Absolutely. But you know why he did that? Cause he was not smart in what he was doing. You know, if you do it the right way. Yeah. Yeah. If you do it the right way, he owns real estate now, but he buys it in a different manner.
Yeah. He doesn't really try to use debt for houses anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is cool. I mean, I love debt for houses, but I just don't over leverage.
Right. You know? It's like if my payments are at threshold, we got to wait until it goes down.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
So I'm just curious then, because you mentioned Dave Ramsey, he was using the high stakes 90 day, whatever variable percentage per. Do you get like a fixed rate for your house, or is it for the first phase? I'm talking not the last half, like the first phase is the fixed variable. 90-day one? Sorry, I just added two for the price of one. The 90-day loan, or is it you get the 30-year fixed rate?
Yeah. So initially when we buy them with private money.
Okay.
First, and that's a 12-month. You're generally a 12-month term. Okay. And then when we go to refinance it, let's say we're going to refinance it for a long-term hold, you can refinance up to 10 properties on a 30-year fixed Fannie Freddie loan. Okay.
That's actually good to know. I didn't know that. Yeah.
But you can't, that's 10 is as many as you can do. Now,
is that
there
in
are
your
some,
name or is that with LLC too?
In your name.
Okay.
Yeah. And then anything other than that, there are some other lenders out there online that will give you 30-year notes. You got to be really careful with them because they tag the piss out of you with crazy stuff. Okay. So you got to be really careful with those kind of deals. Mine are generally going to be on a 5-year note. So they may be a 15 or 20-year AM on a 5-year, on a 5-year note. So after 5 years, you need to go back and 5 to 7, sometimes 10, if you, you know, depending on what the banks are doing, 5, 7, or 10 year, you go back and refinance again. But by that time you've paid way down on your equity anyway. I mean, shoot. So what do? You know, let's say you bought a package of 30 houses in 1 year and you financed them out and you've got them on a, say, a 5-year note. Well, you've paid crazy equity down. Well, you just go back and refinance again at the same number that you paid before. You take that refi proceeds that you get, put it in your pocket. That's tax free. You just made $100,000-$200,000 tax free in your pocket.
Exactly. That's one thing. One of my coworkers, he's interested in some stuff. And I said, you know, because I guess his like aunt refinanced and he's like, I don't get it. Why does she owe taxes on the refinance? I'm like, the way America's structured, when you refinance, even if it's on your car, all that money you get is tax free because they consider it whatever action. Yeah. So they don't need to tax you on it.
Yeah.
I said, that's how, like, yeah. I'm like, told him, like, this is how the rich stay rich. And he's like, well, this is only houses and cars. I'm like, no, you can do this on stock too.
Yeah. Yes. Or life insurance, whole life. Mm-hmm. You can do that same thing, right? You can take a loan out, but it's tax free. All that stuff like that, man. And that's the thing. I mean, as you learn this, as you get into the business, you start getting around people that know a little bit more than you and you grab these little golden nuggets. How do you not pay taxes? You know, Donald Trump, he was a proponent of, well, I use the tax code to my benefit. It's true. He wasn't doing anything illegal. He just was smart enough to know people that could tell him what to use the tax codes for his benefit.
Exactly.
Why the heck would not anybody else do that?
Right. And this is what I tell like all my coworkers, because I'm studying trading and all that. And they're like, oh, but you do X, Y, and Z, the government's going to come for you. I'm like, nope. I said, I'm smart enough to realize I'm going to go call my accountant and say, okay, did I mess up or do I need to do something different?
Yeah.
I said, are you smart enough to call your accountant? And they're like, no. I'm like, there you go. And it's a simple action too. But it's not, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out.
Right. Absolutely.
So, you scour, you were scouting during lunch. Well, you're calling during lunch, scouting after work. How many hours a day were you putting into this? Like roughly?
Man, that's a good question because, you know, there was times even when I was at work that I was doing some stuff on the side really when I shouldn't been, you know, if I was fair to the company that I was working for, I probably shouldn't have been spending some of that time there, but I would say I put in a good 7 to 8 hours a day
on top of the 7 to 8 hours you were
on top of the 8 hours a day that I worked. Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, you think about it, I had an hour lunch break. I was bombing on the hour lunch breaks, trying to find stuff. You know, when I left work, I was out calling and everything else until 7 o'clock at night. Cause you're not supposed to call past 8, right? Legally.
Yeah. I think it's something like that. I don't know about California. They ring at random hours.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was calling up to about 7 o'clock, but then after that I was putting in time, listening to podcasts and listening to other people. So, I mean, I'd be on there another 2 hours before I went to bed, you know?
That's awesome. No, that's truly, us good stuff, because that's the mindset people who are, I'm going to say, especially me, I'm going to say it like me, I really want to look into real estate. And it's just one of those, a lot of people like joke with me like, oh, currently you're not making money with your podcast. I'm like, yeah, but this is like my learning phase. I look at it as like going to college. If you do it right with college, 9 times out of 10, you can actually make your money back before you die.
Yeah.
But I said, I just look at it the same way. I said, I just don't want to go to college because I don't want to deal with the bureaucracy. I'd rather make my own rules, my own path.
Yeah, sure.
And that's where they kind of like looked at me, because this one person, she kind of like hinted, like she's like 120K in debt after like 10 years of paying it off. I'm like, where did you go? That was $120,000. I mean, I don't think even UCLA out here is that much for the whole session.
Right. Wow.
Wow. I just told her, I'm like, because I was listening to Dave Ramsey, I was working on my debt. I said, I can help you with a general structure to pay it down. And she's like, nope, I like where I'm at. I'm like, man, that debt bugged the shit out of me, but okay.
Yeah. 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 I'll tell you another one. So I listen to a lot of Robert Kiyosaki too. I mean, that for me, Robert Kiyosaki really helped me when Rich Dad Poor Dad, that book really helped.
It's really good.
Yeah, it is.
His newer stuff, I haven't really read it, but it seems like it's more slanted for intentional hype and propaganda, fear mongering stuff. I mean, it's genius marketing, but it's like the Rich Dad Poor Dad. If you read it from beginning to end, you could learn a lot, but it seems like his new books are intentionally slanted. I'll teach you one thing, but give me a year and you can get the second half in my other book.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But yeah, he has a lot of good insights on real estate too. He's up there with like Trump. He learned the system real quick and how to do it to his favor. I think he even did it kind of like you in the beginning, where he was wholesaling just to get the cash.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, initially cash is king, right? But then you start to understand that you get enough cash to where you're like, oh, okay, I can survive. Mm-hmm. But honestly, assets are king. Because as this dollar inflates, because it continues to inflate right now, right? Inflation's continuing to go up. What the heck are we going to do? The only thing that we can do is buy assets so that the asset value continues to go up because the dollar is going down. You've got to put your money in something that keeps your money from plummeting. That's where we're at. Yeah.
And it's one of those, like for me, because I work at a grocery store currently, I know something's going to kick off and I'm not going to be working here anymore, but I see the price tick up 10 cents here, 10 cents there. And everyone in the beginning, when it was first starting during the lockdowns, like I've worked through this whole damn pandemic, but everyone's like, oh, like prices went up. I'm like, yeah, give it like 10 cents here, 10 cents there. Suddenly it's going to be at $2 and you're just going to be like, where did this come from?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's where it did it, like at a certain point, but because they primed them with that idea, I'm like, they were just more like, oh, Josh Warren does. I'm like, so what are you doing, Josh? I'm like, I'm invested in real estate and stocks. Actually, I have real estate stock too. So it's paying me consistent $60 a month.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they just all looked at me. I'm like, what? Like, this is not taboo. Anyone can do this. If you want to look it up.
Yeah. Yeah. You really can. I mean, literally anybody can do it. Seriously.
And so, you know, I love this, the flow. I got 3 going out questions for you. My camera's way too high now. First one, other than work and podcasting now, what do you do in your free time to keep yourself busy during these lockdown times?
Yeah. So we do a lot of hunting. So hunting season is about over though, but me and my whole family hunt. And then during the summer, I stay on the boat, man. We love going out on the lake. We do a lot of surfing. I've got 4 kids. So
wow, that's 4 jobs right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. And so we stay busy that way. Just spending family time, man, that's key. I mean, ultimately, you can work hard and make a bunch of money, but what does it all matter in the end? You know, really family is what really matters.
100%. I know a lot of multimillionaires and they put their family on the side. And now at their dying age of 70 or 80, they're just like, oh, I want a good family relationship. It's like, dude, you pissed that a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad, man.
So What are, other than what we just went over, what are some tips, tricks, or advice to help someone get on the path to do what you do?
Well, okay. So if I can, I'll pitch a little bit on my Facebook page. It's free. It's called 90 Days to Escape Your 9-to-5.
Okay.
I would say they can go there, and I put out free content every day, man, on first steps, first tricks. But I would say the first thing that you would do if you're interested in getting into real estate is pull data, find an area that you're willing to work in and pull data in that area. And then once you pull data, skip trace it and just start calling somebody. And the easiest thing to do is to call them and say, "Hey man, this is Sean. How are you?" They're going to be like, "Well, who the heck are you?" Like, "Man, I'm just a random guy trying to buy some real estate. I come across your property. Is there any interest in possibly selling that?" That's it. They're going to be there, say no, or they're going to say, "Yeah, there's a possibility." And then you start that conversation. And then once you get that done and you get a contract signed, you can figure out the rest. But if you don't have a deal, it doesn't matter.
Right. You can do all that hard work. And once you get a deal, it's not going to work.
That's it. Yeah.
So where can everyone contact you at?
Yeah. So they can go to that 90 Days to Escape Your 9-to-5 Facebook page. They can also email me at Sean@SimpleHomeExits.com. They can also find me on Facebook, Sean O'Rourke. I have an Instagram page called Bearded_Investor. And then also they can check out our website. We've got a SimpleHomeExits.com website. They can also check out the 90 Days to Escape Your 9-to-5 website as well.
Perfect. And I will be sending a follow-up email to collect all that too. So anything we didn't list, you can also throw that in.
Sure. Cool.
Absolute honor and a pleasure. If you ever want to come on, you're always welcome. You have my link.
Awesome, man. I'd love to again. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you too.
Well, congratulations. You made it to the end. You're an awesome person. Not many make it here. So being the awesome person that you are, can you do me one more awesome favor? Can you rate and review this on whatever podcast services you're using? App, if you do it on Apple and you leave an actual written review, I have a thing on my website. I will take your written review and post it for all to see. Congratulations, you're permanently sealed on my site. Otherwise, I am trying to do YouTube more and live streaming. I will try to put as many of the YouTube links in the description of the show as I can. So give your boy some extra help over on YouTube. Watch my videos. I just mute it and change the channel, change the window or something. But yeah, that's it. Thank you for being awesome and see you next time.